We're holding in Brachos, page Lamed Beis, Ois Memtes. Last time we learned about, we had the story with Reb Meir, where he wanted to daven for Rachamim, that's a Biryonim in his neighborhood should die, and Beruya tells him instead, Yitamu Chatoim B'leichoitim. And then we had something where Tzduki asked Beruya a question about a pasuk, and she answered him. So when she talked to Reb Meir, she said, look at the end of the pasuk, and you'll see what Yitamu Chatoim in Haaretz means. And she uses the same expression, but in a harsher way, to Tzduki, telling him also, you should look at the end of the pasuk, and you'll see it's not like you're talking about. So now we have another example of that, where Tzduki asks about the order of things in a pasuk. The third capital of Tehillim is that David composed it when he's running away from Avshalom. Now that happened towards the end of David's life. That was about three or four years before David passed away. Then later on, much later in Tehillim, capital Nun Zayin, David michtam bevorchem ipnei shol b'ma'or. That David composed, michtam means like a precious Kapitel Tilim, it's Meloshim Kesem, which means a golden ornament, when he was running away from Shaul, when he was hiding out in a cave. Now, that was much earlier in David's life. So, hey, Maisa, have a Bereshah. So the Tzduki says, which story happened first? Mechti Maisa to Shaul, have a Bereshah. The story when he's hiding out from Shaul was long before the one with Avshalom, Lichta Bereshah. So let it be written earlier. Why are the Kapitlach written out of order? Now, of course, he could ask on many different Kapitlach. The Rif points out, in particular, these two both talk about David running away. So you would think then that at least those should be put in chronological order. Omalei, so Rabba Bohu answers him, Atun de ledashitun smuchim, yut zdukim, you don't believe in the concept of smuchim, that because one thing is placed adjacent to something else in Torah, therefore one is meant to teach us about the other, and in fact we learn halachas from it, so you find it difficult to understand why these kapitlach tilim are out of chronological order. Ananda davshin and smuchim, we the bnei Torah, the Talmid Chachamim, that we davshin smuchim loy kashalon, then we have no problem with it because we can easily understand why the kapitlach are in the order they are. As first, let's explain what's so important about smuchim. The Amr Rabbi Yechanan smuchim in Torah minayin. Rabbi Yechanan says, in fact, where do we have a hint in the Torah? Torah here meaning more bukti tanach for the concept of smuchim. Shenemar smuchim lo adla olam asurim beemes v'yasher. Another pasuk in Tehillim says they're smuchim, they're supported. Now the Rashi points out the previous pasuk ends off ne'emonim kol pikudav. All of Hashem's mitzvahs are faithful and reliable. So now it continues smuchim. They are juxtaposed. They're made adjacent together. Lo ad forever. Lo olam also forever. Asurim beemes v'yasher. They're made with truth and with uprightness. So that teaches us the concept. So in other words, Marashah says, the point is that don't be like this min and think big deal, one parasha is next to the other, doesn't mean anything. If you think about it carefully, you'll realize that they're asuyim, the emes v'yasher, they're made in the most perfect and truthful way in order that we should learn something. So what is it? Lama nismacha parashas Avshalom, the parashas Gogomogog. Why indeed is, so the question really is then, why is the parasha of Avshalom, which is Kapitel Gimel, why is it right after Kapitel Beis, which to Lama rog shugoyim, where we mentioned earlier, actually, this is another connection with the Gemara before, because we mentioned that the two first Kapitlach of Tehillim were actually originally one long Kapitel. And the Kapitel, Lama rog shugoyim, Kapitel Beis, talks about Mochemes Gogomogog. So why are they put one next to the other? The reason is, Shem Yom Alecha Adam, a person might say to you, how is it possible that there's ever going to be a Mochemes Gogomogog? Klum Yesh Eved Shemoded Barabbi, how could there be a servant who rebels against his master? So how is it possible that there will ever be a Goig, the king of Mogog, who's going to try to rebel against Hashem? Now, why not? Mephoshim asked. I mean, you have many such cases in history. We'll get back to that in a minute after we give the answer. Anyway, so people are going to wonder how such a thing could bechlal be. Af ata emaloi, then you answer him back. Have you ever heard of a son who rebels against his father? Elahava, but it happened. You see that Avshalom did rebel against David, as unnatural as that is. Hachinami hava, the same way, yes, there can very well be that Goig will go and rebel against Hashem. So first of all, Marsha says, I mean, so then in that case, fine. So the order should be that first put the capital about David running away and escaping from Shaul and hiding in the cave. Then can be the one about Mohammed's Gog and Magog, and then can be the one about Avshalom, and then they'll still be in chronological order. Marsha says, okay, because the fact is, we're going to put ones that have to do more with Klal Yisrael are going to come before anything else. So therefore, necessarily, Asher Ish and Lama Zogshu, which are speaking of the whole of things affecting the whole Jewish people collectively, then those naturally have to come first. And then once we have Lama Zogshu, then like we're saying, like Rabbi Boho was saying, automatically we have to have after that the one of Avshalom, and there's no room in between for Bevorchem Ibnei Shaul Bama'ara, which after all is talking about an event in David's personal life. So the question becomes again, so why would people think it's so odd? You've had many examples in history of people who rebelled against Hashem. So Eitz Yosef brings over here from the Tzlach that what it is the earlier villains who fought against Hashem, you have, for example, let's say with Paroi, he thought that, he thought, for example, Ozev Hashem Asa'oretz, that Hashem is too high up to bother with things with the Nivroim, and he gave things over to the Mazolos. And the same thing with other Rishoyim, you never have specifically that it's described that they rebelled in the way that with Gog and Magog, you have the Lashon and Tilim, Al Hashem Ba'al Mashiach, that they're against Hashem and against his anointed one. They're coming to fight against Mashiach and prevent the Geula Mitzvah Shlema from coming true. So people might think such a thing can happen. And then the answer is that we find such a thing with Avshalom. Different answer also, Pnei Yeshua says, you think about it, all the other villains in Tanakh, sure, you have beforehand, there was something presage that it's going to happen, but not to the level of detail that you have by Milchemes Gog and Magog. We just had this past Shabbos, we had the Aftorah of, we had actually two Aftorahs over Sukkot that talk about it, the first day of Yom Tov and Shabbos Chol HaMoed, from Zechariah and from Yechezkel respectively. Yechezkel has more nevuos about it. Other Nevi'im also have more nevuos on the subject. So it's given in great detail what's going to happen, how these guys are going to come and fight, and they're going to be successful for a while, and then they're going to end up being destroyed, and then their eyes are going to be melting in their sockets, v'chola v'chola. So the Pnei Yeshua says, the question would be, a person is going to ask, Mela, for example, let's say Paray, fine, Hashem told Avram, in a general sense, fine, so Paray figures, you know, maybe it's me, maybe it's somebody else. But Goig, he has to know that when he comes, that every detail of what's going to happen to him, it says there in the Pesukim, and still he's going to come and try to do it. So therefore, you're going to think, how is it possible? So we're answering, you see, with Avshalom as well. Hashem told David in advance that you're going to be attacked by somebody with Shochaves Nashecha, where he's going to take you to Lavishim and have relations with them, which Avshalom in fact did. So therefore, so again, you have exactly the same kind of thing where the details of what Avshalom did were foretold in advance, and still that didn't prevent Avshalom from going and doing it anyway and figuring that he's going to be successful. So that's the comparison. Continues the Gemara. This is also going to have to do kind of with the order of Psukim and Tilim. We're going to be dashing a number of Psukim and Tilim, but actually out of order. So Amar Rabbi Yechon Meshum Rabbi Shimon Yechoy. My dichtiv, what does it mean, a posuk in Mishle, you say it in Eishas Chai, or Pia Poscha B'Chochma V'Sordas Chesed Al Lashona, she opened her mouth with Chochma and the Torah of Chesed is on her tongue. So now, fine. I mean, the capital as a whole talks about the Eishas Chayil, which is a metaphor for many things, including Torah. But Marsha points out, in particular, when we say V'Sordas Chesed Al Lashona, you can't say the Torah of Chesed is on the Torah's tongue. So therefore, it has to be referring to somebody else or something else. So who is that? So Kenegan Mi Omer Shlomo Mikrazeh. So who is Shlomo referring to in that pasuk? And the answer is Lo Amar El Kenegan David Ovid. Means that he's saying it specifically regarding his father David, Shadur Behei Olamis V'Omer Shiva. He lived in five different worlds, and he lived in and he experienced five different worlds, and he said Shira to Hashem on each one of them. Five psukim, you have five psukim in Tilim that all begin that all have the word Borchi or Borchu. So those represent these five different things.
What are these five worlds? What is
that? So we're going to explain in the Gemara. But also, so we're going to explain in the Gemara, they refer to five different stages of his life and his afterlife. But we're also, there is also an explanation that they also correspond respectively to the five levels of the neshama. Further on, at the end of this piece, we're going to have talking about the five Baruchi Nafshis or Keneged Hashem and Keneged the neshama, where there are five ways in which the neshama is an analog to Hashem. And those also relate to the five levels of the neshama, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Yechida. So it all ties together. So HaKosef has a long explanation over here. One thing he points out is, you think about it, David and Shlomo were both Chachamim, but they were Chachamim of different kinds. David's Chachma was primarily in Torah. Shlomo's Chachma, of course, he had plenty of Chachma in Torah as well. We know he understood the reasons for all the mitzvahs except for Parat Adurma, but his focus of his Chachma was mainly on the Chachma of the world. You find in the Pesukim over there that he knew about all the birds and the fish and the trees and so on and so forth. So therefore, now he's saying Pia Pascha v'Chochma. He's referring back to his father David. He opened his mouth with the Chochma of Torah, which he had to greater perfection than I do. So what are the five worlds? Number one, Dorbi Meihimai. The first one is that when David lived in his mother's womb, when his mother was pregnant with him. Now, we don't mean necessarily when we say Va'omar Shira, when we say he sang Shira over there. So Rashi mentions, actually with the next one, Rashi says about all of them, he said Shira Kishosa Ruach HaKodesh Olav, when Ruach HaKodesh rested on him. Which means, in other words, Mephoshim explained that Rashi means he didn't actually say Shira when he was in his mother's womb. He didn't actually say Shira the next one when he was born and so forth, because he's not capable of saying Shira yet then. It means when he was older and he thought back to how it was, how Hashem protected him in the womb, then now in retrospect, he said Shira about that and so for each of the other ones. Shenemar. So he said, Borchi nafshi es Hashem b'chol krovai Hashem kodshei. He says, my soul bless Hashem, and all my insides should bless his holy name. Which Rashi explains, the point is, he's thanking Hashem for the fact that he was in his mother's insides, in his mother's womb, and he was protected in there. Marshall also points out another point as well. It also relates to David's own Kravayim. We know, we learned not so long ago when we were learning Nida a few months back, we said that the Gemara described over there how the baby is in the womb. And it mentioned over there that in the womb, the baby's navel is open and that's how it gets nourishment through its umbilical cord. And then as soon as the baby is born, then that closes up. So now David is thanking Hashem, b'chol kravai, for my insides, for my kishkis, that were functioning one way when I was in the womb, and the way that they needed to then. Next, Yotzel Avra Olam. Then he came out into the world, he was born. And he gazed at the stars and the planets and the tremendous chokhmah and artistry that Hashem put into them. But Omar Shira, and he said Shira about that as well. Shenema, another pasuk that begins Baruchu. Baruchu Hashem Malachim. Hashem's Malachim bless him. Giborei Choyach, the ones of mighty power. Oisei Dvorei, who do Hashem's word. Lishmoya, but called Dvorei, to listen to the sound of Hashem's words. And he continues, Baruchu Hashem called Tzvah. You have three psukim actually back to back there at the end of Kapitel Kuf Gimel. So Kapitel Kuf Gimel begins Baruchu Nafshi Es Hashem, and it ends with three psukim back to back that all begin Baruchu. Baruch Hu Hashem kol malachim gibori choyach, Baruch Hu Hashem kol tzvav, Baruch Hu Hashem b'chol mekoymes mem shaltoi. Yeah. So that he's thanking Hashem for the fact that now he's in the world and he's able to, and he notices the stars and the planets. Why is he focusing dafka on the stars and the planets? So Maharsha explains, we know that the mazel under which a person is born has a very powerful influence on what kind of person he's going to become. The Gemara discusses it in some detail at the end of Shabbos. We say ein mazel Yisrael, so a yid is able to surmount his mazel, unlike a goy, but nevertheless, within that is the way that his life goes tends to be in accordance with the mazel that he was born under. So therefore, he's thanking Hashem that Hashem arranged that he's born under a certain mazel, and also, on the other hand, that Hashem controls those mazalos and is able to override them when necessary. Then, Yonak Mishdeimah, the third one is he nursed from his mother's breasts, v'nistakol b'dadeha, and he paid attention to her breasts. And for that, he thanked Hashem also. V'omar Shira, he said Shira for that. Another pasuk also in Kapitel Kuf Gimel, where he says, my soul bless Hashem, and don't forget all of the favors that he did for me. where the word gmulav in particular. So one thing is the word gmulav is also related to the word like vayigdal hayelad vayigomal. It means being weaned. So therefore, the word gmulav suggests until he's weaned, where he's nursing. So the Gemara asks, "My kol gmulav, what is he specially thanking Hashem for at that point?" He thanks Hashem that Hashem made for a woman that her breasts are in the place of bina, over her heart. Unlike you think of animals, their udders are lower down on the body, closer to the place of their erva. Whereas with a human being, it's not like that. So the Gemara asks, "Time am I? Why indeed did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem do human beings that chesed?" This way, when the baby is nursing, he doesn't have to be looking at a place of erva on his mother. And Rav Masna says a different reason, so the baby doesn't have to nurse from an unclean part of the body, which would be as if it was lower down on the body. So one interesting explanation is that these two things relate to, respectively, that arayas and macholas asuris, which are among the things that have the biggest negative influence on the neshama, and therefore Hashem created a human being so that a baby doesn't get those influences when he's a baby. Ben Yehoyada points out a very interesting thing in that regard. He says he brings you have in one of Bilam's brachas to the Jewish people. He says hen om levodad yishkain. He says you break down the word levodad. You can break it down lev dad lev, as we're saying over here, that they're over the heart, and dad meaning the breasts. Meaning, in other words, now of course, you know, physiologically the goyim have it the same as us Jews, but the difference is, we know that nursing from a goyish woman is the equivalent of nursing from a treif animal, which is why we have Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to nurse from a goyish woman. In general, it says in Shulchan Aruch that where possible, you shouldn't have a Jewish kid nurse from a goyish woman, because he's going to absorb a certain tumor with it. So therefore, in that sense, in other words, the specialty that the dadim or ben kaim bina, even though physiologically Jews and goyim have it the same way, but the deeper idea behind it, that it's ben kaim bina, is really exclusive to us Jews. So that was the third oilam, that was the third stage of the world that David lived in and said shira. That's what we're saying, there were five of them. And again, there are explanations how each one of them corresponds to one of the five levels of the neshama. When he's in the womb, then he first has the nefesh, which is what keeps, which is just the ruach chayim, what keeps a person alive. Then when a person is born, he starts being able to develop his ruach. Later on, he develops his neshama, and so forth. The fourth one is stako b'yayim ha-misa. The fourth one is he paid attention to when Hashem is going to cause the Rishoyim to fall. For Omar Shira, and he said Shira about that as well. That's also one of the chasadim that Hashem did in the world. Shenemar, he says in the pot. Oh, did I? Rab Mapalos and Shor Rishoyim. Oh, so yeah, you're right. Rab Mapalos and Shor Rishoyim. Thank you. Rab Mapalos and Shor Rishoyim. He saw the downfall of the Rishoyim. V'Amar Shira, and he said Shira on that. This is also why this Gemara is in here, because before we had Rav Meir and Bruya talking about this pasuk, and now the Gemara is bringing a drasha that has to do with this pasuk as well. Shenema, the pasuk says, "Yitamu chatoyim in ha'aretz." The sins will be gone from the world. The Rishoyim oydeinim, and the Rishoyim will be no more. Bochi nafias Hashem haloduka. My soul bless Hashem haloduka. And we said before that's actually the very first haloduka in Tilim, when he saw the downfall of the Rishoyim. So even though we said before, "Yitamu chatoyim b'lo yifoytim," nevertheless we said there are some incorrigible Rishoyim where the only thing for them is missing, in particular Rishu Umasoilam, and therefore the David is thanking Hashem that he did the chesed, that he gets rid of such people. It actually connects with something in last week's and this week's parasha. One of the reasons that that's brought someplace, I don't remember the marker, why it is that after the Mabul, the Ebeshter drastically shortened people's lifespan. Before the Mabul, they're living 900 plus years. Nowadays, a person is lucky if he reaches 100. One idea is because that way, before the Mabul, the problem was, on the one hand, you have the great Tzaddikim are living 900 years, wonderful. They're able to accomplish tremendous things for the world. On the other hand, you also have the Rishoyim are living hundreds of years. And then that means that they have a long time to keep the Rishus going. Like this, in other words, the point is that even the biggest Rosha, even though the biggest dictator or tyrant or whatever, there's only so long, and soon he drops dead, and then there's room for better people instead of him. That's included in Mapalos and Shor Rishoyim.
When do you say
Ben Foil Oyev Chal Tismach? In particular, we say it with a Jewish enemy. you have in Masechta Megillah, actually, where Haman asks Mordechai that. It says over there when he has to bend down for Mordechai to climb up onto the horse, and Mordechai gives him a kick. And he says, what happened to Benfer Lo Yivchal Tismach? And Mordechai tells him, that applies to a Yid. But to a Goy, then to a Goy like you, then we don't say that. So that was the fourth thing, that was the fourth Olam that David saw and thanked Hashem for. Then Mistakel B'yema Misa, then the fifth one is he considered the time when a person dies, but almost Shira, and he said Shira about that, which is, Maharsha says, the fact that the tzaddikim, they're not goners when they pass away, they will have Tchias HaMesiv, so he's focusing primarily on that, says Maharsha. Shenemar, as he says, Baruch Nafshi Es Hashem, Hashem Alekai Gadalta Ma'od, Hashem, my God, you are very great. Hoid V'Hodo Lavashta, you've clothed yourself with glory and honor. So the question is, my Mashmadal Yom HaMisa Nemar, where do you see anything in that pasuk that has to do with Yom HaMisa? Amar Rava or Rabba Barav Shila Misefa De'inyana. You look at the end of that capital, you'll see that it has to do with the further on towards the end of the capital. It says, Taster Panecha Yubahelun, when you hide your face, they're confused. Toisef Rucham, when you gather in their spirit, you've grown, then they die, but going with Ella Fordham Yishuvan, and they return to their dust. So we see that the capital was talking about Misa, it's talking about Yom HaMisa, and David is thanking Hashem that Hashem created such a thing. So you have Maharsha says there's the fact that Tchias HaMesim, Iyun Yaakov points out there's also the fact that Gdolim Tzadikim V'Misasam Yosef V'Chayayim and their Nenem Yiziv Ashchina. So that also connects with the Hoid V'Hodor Lavoshter, but they now, they get to bask in the Hoid V'Hodor of the Eivishter. Eitz Yosef points out another thing. Also, the fact is that a neshama, while it's in the goof, is not able to fully comprehend the lakus. So therefore, a person needs to go through death in order to be able to reach that level. So then, Hashem alakai gadalta ma'od. Then the neshama is able to see the tremendous greatness of Hashem. So those are the five. Now, continues the Gemara, Rav Shimi bar Ukva, Ba'amri lo ma Ukva, have a shchiach kameh de Rav Shimon Pazi. Rav Shimi bar Ukva, or others say it was Ma Ukva, Rav Shimi bar Ukva might be Ma Ukva's son, or it might be the son of a different Ukva. Anyway, have a shchiach kameh de Rav Shimon Pazi. He used to regularly be in front of Rav Shimon Pazi. V'have a mesader agadja kameh de Rav Shimon Levi. In turn, Rav Shimon Pazi would arrange agadjas in front of Rabbi Shimon Levi, meaning that he would teach, he would arrange in his mind agadjas and then teach them in the Beis Medrash in Rabbi Shimon Levi's Beis Medrash. So Amalei, so one time Rabbi Shimon Levi asks him, "My dechtiv borchu," maybe it means that Ma'ukva or Rabbi Shimon Ba'ukva asked Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi. This pasuk that we quoted before, where David says, "All my insides should bless Hashem's holy name." So what's the point? Why are we stressing the insides? So he answers him, you can come see the way Hashem does things is not like the way a boss of a dumb. Midas boss of a dumb. So a boss of a dumb can make a beautiful image on a beautiful picture on a wall. But he can't put inside it a ruach and a shama, the various levels of life. He can't put in it kishkis. Maharsha points out, now there are various tzaddikim in various generations who created golems. You have the Gemara, even in Sanhedrin, mentioned that Rava created one, for example. In later times, we have the Maharal. You have other examples scattered here and there throughout Jewish history. However, none of them were ever able to make one that was able to speak. We know famously in all the stories about Maharal's golem that he was unable to speak. The one in Sanhedrin there also, it says Rava sent him to Rav Zeira, and Rav Zeira talked to him and he wasn't answering, and Rav Zeira realized then that it's a golem, because the ability to give a creature the ability to speak is something only the Eibishter can do. In fact, Maharsha brings in this past week's parasha, when it says, Vayihiha Adam Lanefesh Chaya, Targum Onkelos translates it, Vahava Adam Leruach Memalava. He became a speaking spirit. Because that's the chayus that the Eivishter is able to give, which nobody else is. So therefore we're saying, so no human artist, no matter how great he is able in his tzura to put in these kinds of things. Ba'akodesh Baruch Hu in a Kain, whereas what does Hashem do? Tzur tzura b'soich tzura. He not only creates a form, he creates a form inside another form, the baby inside the mother's womb. And he puts it in a ruach neshama and then krevayim and nemei ayim and all those things. So that's what we mean, that when you think just about your own kishkis, when you think about your own nefesh and your own kishkis, and the kishkis of your mother that you were formed in, you realize what an amazing thing the Eibishter does that no human, that no nivra could ever duplicate. This also explains what Chana says in her tefillah. She says, "Ein kodesh kashem." There's no one as holy as Hashem. Ki ein biltecha. There's no one like you. Although we're going to explain in a second, there's no one besides you. Actually, ein biltecha. The Gemara is going to explain in a second another meaning of ein biltecha. The ein sur kelekein. And she says, "There's no sur like Hashem." Now, literally, that means literally the word sur means rock. So a rock is a symbol of protection, of stability. So it means there's no one who is such a source of protection as Hashem. But the Gemara is bothered by my ve'ein sur kelekeinu, and Marsha explains the question is, you have other psukim that refer to Hashem as tsur. For example, at tsur tamim palay. But here, what is Chana saying? She's saying ein sur kelekeinu, implying there are other tsurim, but Hashem is greater than all the other tsurim. Well, why is that a shvach to Hashem? Why is that a praise to Hashem? Why are we even bothering mentioning the other tsurim at all when they're all bottled to Hashem? So therefore, the Gemara wants to understand the word tsur in a different sense. Ein tsayer kelekeinu means that there's no artist like Hashem, like we just said about what a human being is able to do with his artistry versus what Hashem does with his. That's what it means. Ein sur kelekeinu, and that's also what it means. So now the Gemara says, "My ki ein biltecha." So what's this ki ein biltecha? What does that part mean? Again, if it just means that there's nobody other than Hashem, first of all, there are other ways of expressing that. You'd say einod milavadoi, for example, like it does in Chumash. So Amar Yehuda bar Manasseh, al tikri ki ein biltecha el ein levaloi secha. Not ki en biltecha, there's nobody besides you, but there's nothing that can outlast you. Meaning, and Marsha explains, the point is, since we're saying ein kodesh kashem, that the word kodesh also means something that lasts forever, therefore ein biltecha also has to be something referring to the infinity of Hashem. So it means, shaloik midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu midas vasav adam. Again, it means that Hashem is not like a human being. Midas vasav adam. So a human being, his maisa yodah, whatever he makes, outlasts him. Hashem outlasts his maisa. This is what the Altarebbe explains in Tanya and Shara Yichud Ba'amunah, that people make a mistake. They think that Hashem like set the universe in motion and then left it alone the same way as a craftsman makes a keli, and then the craftsman may be long gone and the keli is still there. They don't realize that there's koyach ha'poyel b'nifl the entire time, and therefore the nivra eventually wears out and the Eibishter's koyach is still there. So now after he gave that whole drasha on Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem b'chol krova Es Shem Kodshei, that it means that we're praising the artistry of Hashem. So now Amalei, Reb Shimi Bar Ukva or Ma Ukva, who first asked the question to Reb Shimi Ben Pazi, he says, I wasn't actually asking what the individual pasuk Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem b'chol krova Es Shem Kodshei means. Fine, that was a very nice drasha. What I'm bothered by is hani hey berchi nafshi kineged mi omron David. The fact that David says five times in the psukim berchi nafshi, what are those five things corresponding to? So before we had an Rabbi Yochanan's drasha that was saying that they are corresponding to the five worlds, the five phases of existence that David lived through. Reb Shimi does not like that. And Akosev discusses over here why that should be, why he doesn't like that. So one thing is, he says, because Rabbi Yochanan is saying that each one of them refers to a different time in David's life. Reb Shimi would rather understand that all of them refer to something that happens simultaneously. So therefore, so it doesn't work to say that one of them is about when he was in the womb and another one when he was born and so on and so forth. He could say them at the same time later on, but each one of them describes a different period in his life. Right. And the answer is loya moron ela kenegad HaKadosh Baruch Hu or kenegad neshama. So the answer is, when David said these five Baruchi Nafshis, and specifically he's focusing on Nafshi in each one of them, means that he's talking about the five things about Hashem and five things that are in which the neshama corresponds to it. So there were Marshab brings the famous idea that a person is an olam katan. So therefore, so the body of a person is a microcosm of the entire world. So now the neshama is metaphorically like Hashem. We were with the neshama is a chelak of a kamimal. Interesting point, by the way. A couple of the mafoshim bring over here something. The Eitz Yosef brings over here something from Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, who points out, after all, he says, be careful not to go too far with that analogy. The fact is, the neshama is a nivra. It's interesting. The Alter Rebbe also addresses that point in Shaar Yichud V'Emunah. You know, it's interesting. Bechlal, the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim was actually written as a rejoinder to Tanya. What happened was the Alter Rebbe published Tanya, and the Mesnagdim were not particularly fond of it. Meanwhile, Reb Chaim Volozhiner was actually the top Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. He didn't get involved in the machlokas with the Chassidim. In fact, later on, one of the Rebbeim said his reward for that is from him came the great family of the famous Rabbanim, the Soloveitchiks, the Beis Halevi, and Reb Chaim Brisker, and Reb Yoshe Beres Soloveitchik, and Reb Velvel, and so on and so forth. All of that was in the schus of that he didn't get involved in the machlokas of the Chassidim and the Snagdim. In fact, at one point, he met the Alter Rebbe and had a very warm conversation with him. Anyway, but he had disagreements with the Alter Rebbe's Shitta and Tanya. In particular, he considered that the Alter Rebbe is focusing too much on Avodah Satfila and not enough on the Avodah of learning Torah. So he wrote the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim as a rejoinder to Tanya. So both of them actually address this point about the neshama versus the body. The Nefesh HaChaim, when the Eitz Yosef brings over here, just says, realize that after all, the neshama is a nivra, and therefore there's only so far that you can compare it to the Eitz. The Alter Rebbe mentions that the Alter Rebbe mentions the point in Shaar Yichud V'Emunah, but the Alter Rebbe adds an important point also. Why are they different? And the reason is because he says, you think about it, the neshama keeps the body alive, but it doesn't create the body in the first place. Whereas the Eibishta created all of Metzius, and without the Eibishta constantly giving it in Chayus, V'atam Chayas Kulam, it would cease to exist. And in that sense, therefore, yeah, we can use the neshama to a certain extent as a metaphor for Elokus, but we have to refer for Hashem, for Atzmus, but we have to realize that the comparison goes only so far.
What's a rejoinder?
A rejoinder means an answer, like an answer back, right? Yeah.
Refutation.
Not really a refutation per se, but like an answer back to it, like the Alter Rebbe is saying. He doesn't actually, by the way, the Nefesh HaChaim never actually refers in so many words anywhere to the Tanya. He's just, but you can see when he, if you learn it, you can see that he's addressing various points that the Alter Rebbe mentioned in Tanya, and then giving his own opinion about those points. So anyway, what are the five things? Maha Kodesh Baruch Hu Molei Kol Olam, just like Hashem fills the entire world, Molei Kol Olam is quoted, Af Neshama, Molei Es Kol Aguf, the same way the Neshama fills up the entire body. Second, Maha Kodesh Baruch Hu Roya Ve'en Nira, Hashem sees, but he can't be seen. Af Neshama, Roya Ve'en Nira, it's the same way the Neshama is the same way. Maha Kodesh Baruch Hu Zonas Kol Olam Kolei, Hashem sustains the entire world. Af Neshama Zonas Kol Aguf, in the same way the Neshama sustains and keeps alive the entire body. Maha Kodesh Baruch Hu Tohar, Hashem is Tohar. He's beyond anything beyond any limitations of the world. So of course he's Tohar. Af Neshama Tohar, the same way the soul is the Neshama. And Maha Kodesh Baruch Hu Yoshev B'Chadrei Chadarim, just like Hashem sits, so to speak, in the innermost chambers. Af Neshama Yoshevus B'Chadrei Chadarim, so also the Neshama. So Marshal goes through how each of the Baruchi Nafshis refers to one of these things. Hashem is Maloi Kalaritz Kloide. Corresponding to that, you have Baruch Hashem Malachev and Kol Tzvav and Kol Masa, which refers to all the various levels of Metzius, the world of the Malachim, the world of the Kechavim Mazalis, and our world down here, that Hashem is in all those places, B'chol Mekoimis Memshalta. And the Neshama is like that as well within the body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Roya Ve'en Nira, corresponding to that, is the Neshama is inside a person, V'chol Krovai, and it sees what's going on with the person, but it can't be seen. The third one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zon, Yah V'altishkechi Kol Gemolav, and the a few psukim later it says, HaMasbiya V'atoiv Edyech, that Hashem satisfies you with goodness, which refers to the fact that Hashem sustains the world, and the same way the Neshama sustains the body. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tohar, and the Neshama is Tohar. That's, we have the possibility, Tamu Chatoi Min Ha'aretz, Ushoim Oid Einam, meaning they're going to disappear because they don't have their Neshama that was Tohar. They made it Tamen. Therefore, they're going to disappear. But as far as me, Baruch Hu Nafshi Es Hashem. And the fifth one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yoshi B'chadri Chadorim, corresponds to Hoid V'hod L'vosh, to Ur to Ur Kasama, that Hashem is, so to speak, wrapped up in light and hidden from our view. So he says, Yove Mishi Yesh B'chamisha Dvarim Alolu, so it's appropriate that the neshama that has these five qualities, V'yishabeya Chamisha Yesh B'chamisha Dvarim Alolu, should praise Hashem who has those five qualities as well. HaKosev brings in this connection a story from a medrash of a guy asks Rav Gamliel, where is your Hashem? And Rav Gamliel says, I don't know. What kind of chokhmah is that? You're davening to Hashem and you don't even know where he is. So Rav Gamliel tells him, let me ask you something. Do you know where your soul is? Do you know where your neshama is? I says, I don't know. You don't even know your neshama is inside your own body and you don't know where it is. You're asking me that about Hashem who's infinitely higher than us. And then the guy says, so the guy says, okay, so then what's wrong in that case? So the people who are worshiping Getchkas, don't they have a good point? At least they can see what they're worshiping. Rav Gamliel says, yeah, but they can't see you. You see them, they can't see you back. Whereas the Eibishter is the other way around. So therefore, that's much better. The Gemara says, Omer of Hamnuna. Now we're going to go into a long story about Chizkiyahu HaMelech. The reason why it's going to come in is because further on in the story, which we'll get to one of the next couple of days, Be'ez Hashem, it mentions about the concept of being Soymech Geula L'Tfila that we had earlier in the Gemara, about the importance of saying Gal Yisrael and immediately going into Shemoneh Esrei. And the idea behind that, the idea that you recognize that the Geula was for the sake of Tfila to Hashem and so forth. So, Omer of Hamnuna, my Dichtiv, what is it? A Pasuk in Kehelah says, Mi Kehachacham, who is like the wise man, and who is the one who knows the pesher of the matter? Now, the simple meaning of pesher means the interpretation. It's related to the word posar, like you have by Yosef and the dreams of the Sana Mashkim and the Sana Oifim, kitoiv posar. So the word pesher, on the simple sense, is related to that. Who is the one who knows the solution of the matter? But the Gemara is going to douse in the word pesher, meloshin pshara, meloshin making a compromise. So who is like the chacham, and who is the one who knows how to make a compromise in the matter? Meaning, mi kaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is as great as Hashem, sheyadea lasas pshara ben shnei tzaddikim ben Chizkiyahu l'Yishayahu, that Hashem knows how to make a compromise between Chizkiyahu and Yishayahu, who are both tzaddikim. What happened? Chizkiyahu amar leisi Yishayahu gaboi. Chizkiyahu was always saying, if Yishaya, the Navi, should come to me. After all, we find in an earlier generation, that's what Eliyahu, the head Navi of his times, did. When he needed to see Achav to give him a message, then he went to Achav. So therefore, if Yeshaya needs to tell me something, then let him come to me. Meanwhile, Yeshaya was saying Chizkiyahu should come to me. We find later on with Yehoram, the son of Achav, the Ozel Gabi Elisha, where he went to Elisha. In Melachim Beis, you have a story where the king, where Yehoram, the king of Yisrael, and Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, and the king of Edom are going to fight against Moab, and they're passing through the desert and they're running out of water, so they go and seek out Elisha to ask him for a bracha and to ask him for a nevuah. So we see they didn't call Elisha to them; they went to him. So Yeshaya says the same thing: let Chizkiyahu come to me. And in fact, Marashah points out, if you look in the Psukim before that, in Malachim and Yeshaya, you will find, so now what happened was, we're going to have the story about Chizkiyahu becoming sick. Before he became sick, we have the whole story where Sancheirev invaded Eretz Yisrael and conquered most, and previously, a few years earlier, he had conquered the Aseres HaShavatim and taken them into Galus. Now, a few years later, he's back, intending to do the same thing to Yehuda. He conquers many of the cities in Yehuda. He besieges Yerushalayim. And then during that time is when Chizkiyahu fell sick. Now, you actually look in the Psukim over there where now you have Chizkiyahu needs to ask Yeshaya to daven on their behalf. Yeshaya has a nevuah for Chizkiyahu. But you find in the Psukim over there, says Marashah, you never find them talking face to face. You have Chizkiyahu sends some of his ministers to Yeshaya, and Yeshaya sends back a message to Chizkiyahu. So they never actually met face to face. Now, why aren't they? I mean, what are they, Bali Gaiva or something? Chas v'shalom. So Akosef says no. The fact is that it's not that they were into cupboard. The Yeshaya figured he has to look out for the cupboard of his Nebuah. After all, it's not so simple for a Rav to be Moichel on his Kavod. The same way Chizkiyahu figured it's not so simple for a Melech to be Moichel on his Kavod. So therefore, there was an impasse over here. Which one is going to give it? And both of them felt that what they're doing is the right way. So now, Taka, what is each one doing with the precedence? So Chizkiyahu takes the view that, look, when it comes to Eliyahu going to Ahav, he was the Navi, and you see that he went. On the other hand, with Yehoram going to Elisha, that's no proof. Yehoram did it on his own. That doesn't necessarily show that it should be correct, especially Yehoram himself was a Rosh. Whereas Yeshaya takes the view that Eliyahu going to Ahav was a one-time thing. It was a one-off event because there was a famine there. There was a drought there for 3 years. And now Hashem tells him, go appear to Ahav and then arrange the whole thing on Har HaCarmel. So therefore, it was a one-off, whereas what Yehoram did is more the usual protocol. Anyway, so they had this impasse. So Ma also HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what did Hashem do to break it? Hevi Yisurin al Chizkiyahu. He caused Chizkiyahu to suffer Yisurim and to become sick. And then he goes to Yeshaya, go visit Chizkiyahu, go be mevakeh chol. Marashah points out that actually the pasuk that we started the drasha with, the pasuk from Kehelis, Mika Chacham Miyadeya Peisha Dover, the continuation of that pasuk is Chochmas Adam Torah Ponov, the Chochma of a person lights up his face, but Oiz Ponov Yeshuna, and the strength of his face is changed. So Marashah says that hints at what we're talking about over here. Yeshaya was a Chocham and a Navi, so that's the Chochmas Adam Torah Ponov. Meanwhile, Chizkiyahu's face, his strength, a king is the strong one of his nation, and his face was changed because of his illness. So therefore, so the pasuk is actually hinting at what happened over here. How Hashem made the compromise by making Chizkiyahu be sick and Yeshaya come to visit. So Shanema, the pasuk says, by Yom Mahem Cholach Chizkiyahu Lamus. At that time, this is actually 3 days before Pesach, 3 days before Sanhedrin's army was destroyed. Chizkiyahu became sick unto death. He was on his deathbed. By Yova Elav Yeshaya Ben Ometz Hanavi, Yeshaya comes to him. By Yomer. And he tells him, Koyama Hashem Tzvakas, Sabla Veskha, give last instructions to your household, ki meis ato v'loisichya v'gamer, because you're going to die and you're not going to live. Now, the point being, in other words, that Marashah says, if it was just a matter of delivering him that Nevuah, then it could have also been through a Shliach. The same way as he delivered him the Nevuah, that Sanhedrin's army is going to be defeated and destroyed, and he did that through Shluchim, if it was just a matter of telling Chizkiyahu what the prognosis is, he could have done the same thing. The fact that he came in person is because Hashem told him to do Bikur Chol. And that's how Hashem made the compromise that finally Yeshaya and Chizkiyahu meet face to face. So what does he mean by that? He means it means you're going to die in this world and you're not going to live even in Olam Haba. So Chizkiyahu says, what's going on? What's the big deal? Why am I getting such a severe punishment? He says because you weren't oisik in period of Rivia. You didn't get married and go to have children. Marashah points out, when Chizkiyahu passed away and his son Menashe took over, he was 12 years old. This story happened 15 years before Chizkiyahu passed away. Now, usually the heir to the throne is going to be his oldest son. So therefore, if we see that his oldest son was only 12, then we see from that he must have not gotten married and had children by that point. So Chizkiyahu says, I have a good reason for it. Mishum dechazoyli b'ruach hakodesh. I know with ruach hakodesh. I saw with ruach hakodesh. Dinafti minoi b'nin delei mali, that I'm going to have children who are unworthy. As in fact, Menashe turned out to be a Rosha. So Yeshaya tells him the famous expression, Bahadi kavshi d'rachman olam aloch. What are you getting? What are you mixing in to Hashem's secrets? My d'mafka das iboy loch amevad. You got to do what you're commanded to do, period, v'nivya. Umadnicha kamekut shabrichu levad. And Hashem will do what's good in his eyes. So you don't mix into Hashem's business. Marashah explains, in other words, that Chizkiyahu was saying, I know there's a mitzvah, period, v'nivya. But look, if I have children who are not going to be worthy anyway, then in effect, I'm going to be dead anyway. He brings a Gemara in Baba Basra that said that when a person leaves a son of his caliber, then he can still be considered alive. Therefore, David, it says on him, Shiva, whereas Yoav, who did not, is called Misa. So he's saying, look, if I have a child of like that, then I'm anyway going to be dead. So therefore, I figured I might as well not bother. And Yeshaya is telling him, don't do that. Which Anaf Yosef explains, in other words, that he's saying that the fact is, they can always do tshuva. the concept that a person can do tshuva and the Eibishter will accept it, that's one of Hashem's secrets. So therefore, you don't mix into Hashem's secrets. You're saying that you know Baruch HaKodesh, that your child's going to be a Rasha, but you don't know with Ruach HaKodesh whether he's going to be a Baal Tshuva, because that's up to Hashem. So you mix out of that and you do what you're supposed to do. And we'll continue the rest of it. We'll continue the next part of the story tomorrow, Bez Hashem. It took a long time for him to do tshuva. Yeah, but still. Okay, Yom Yom Mashiach HaGu'ula. One of the milas of nisim that are enclosed in teva versus the ones that are the milam of teva is the mitzvah Rebbe explains in Shara Emunah that when a nest is enclosed in teva, then it comes begilu. Because nisim that are not enclosed in teva, we know the mitzios of the nest, but we don't know the mahus. We don't know what the actual mahus, the actual reality of the nest is. For example, Tchias HaMeisim, we're going to actually see someone was dead and now he's alive, but we're not going to understand how that takes place. And so it is with other nisim, L'mayla Me'ateva. Therefore, such nisim are called niflois because of the definition of Pella is something that you can't even understand with Useichel. So now we're in the decade of plois, so we should have to have those plois. Revealed, and yeah. Plois gedolos, as they said, or whatever. Plois like Geula, actually. Yeah. Okay. Continuing on halachos of macholos asuris, we started talking about last time that if you're sending certain kinds of food with a goy, then you have to have a double seal. So for example, if you're sending it in a sack, then the stitches have to be on the inside of the sack, and then it has to be tied and sealed, and that'll be the choysim, the sey choysim. And if it happens that you send them without a choysim, then you're going to ask a shailas chacham what the din is, whether it's going to be mutter or not. And one more thing also is that if you send cheese or other things, you find cheese in the hands of a goy, even if they have a choysam or some symbol that they're kosher, but if you don't know who the seal is from, then they're also because you can't trust the seal.